Well, welcome here, everybody. If you're new to this church, haven't been here before, have just shown up, my name's Evan. I'm the lead pastor here, and we're glad that you're with us today. We're a church that together we love Jesus. And I had a friend here show up. He came from Glad Tidings Church. And in fact, when I first came to this church, he showed up regularly, several weeks, and then once a month. You know, he came for a long time just to encourage me and support me. And he shows up in the door. I hadn't seen him yet. He goes, "Do you got room for another sinner here?" And said, "Always we do. All of us." The good news is all of us are here. Sinners saved by grace. And so all of us are looking towards Jesus. If you're here and you feel like, "I'm not sure if I fit," the only reason you wouldn't fit is if you're perfect without God. If you're perfect without God, you're way different than all of us. But if you're imperfect and you need God, then you fit in this place. And so welcome here. We're glad that you're with us today. We've been walking through a series called New. And we've been looking at the idea that after Jesus died and resurrected from the dead, religion and faith at that time looked very new all of a sudden. Everything shifted. In fact, at that point, it was when the broad religion and the Israelite religion especially, where their religion was looking towards God, was serving Yahweh, was hearing from Him and trying to follow His ways. After that point, it became Christianity. Because it became about not just following God and his plans and his law and his sacrificial system, but it became about learning Jesus who came to earth and was God in flesh. And then not only that, but after Jesus, who was God in flesh, died, it was about receiving the Holy Spirit. And so not just knowing God above, not just knowing God beside, but knowing God within and working through us. And we've been looking at what is new when that takes place. The first week we talked about the idea of a new road to righteousness. We've talked about new patience that people had, new power that came with that patience. There's new perspective, new ways of living. We've looked at new fruit and new gifts, and we shared about all that over the last few weeks. And today I want to talk about the idea that there was a new baptism. There's a new baptism that took place after Jesus died, resurrected from the dead, and sent His Holy Spirit. A new baptism. In fact, Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist speaks about it. He says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And when I talk about baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's three responses that take place in one room. Some people have no idea what that means. Like, whatever. I couldn't care less. I'm here because of the coffee. And now you're telling me it's going to cost $1 next week. And so I don't even know what I'm going to do with my life. You know, maybe you have no idea what it is. You have no idea what baptism of the Holy Spirit is. Another response is, "Yes, finally, here we go. We're going to go for it. It's going to be crazy. Church is going to get wild. And I can't wait. And it's going to be awesome. And he's finally talking about it. Let's get after it." And then there's another group of people that says, "If that's what the pastor's going to talk about from stage, I think it's time to find a new church." And we have this. We have often this idea of what the baptism of the Holy Spirit should look like. And often our connection to the baptism of the Holy Spirit is very little connected to what actually happened biblically, and much more connected to what we've seen happen church-wise. What we've seen happen with people, what we've seen happen in that one church, in that one space, in that one thing, and we've recognized some things that we either love or hate. Maybe you went to a church when you were really broken, and that church just let you do whatever you want, and it was awesome, and you want that freedom again, and then maybe that's what has driven you. But very rarely is our connection to the move of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the understanding of what that looks like, very rarely is it because of a real study in Scripture, a real understanding of what the Bible says and what historically we see in the early church, and way more connected to our favorite pastor, our favorite moment, or our favorite church, or our most hated pastor, most hated moment, or most hated church. One way or another, we often connect the baptism of the Holy Spirit to one of those places, rarely to the Bible. And so I hope that today we're going to be able to come through that a little bit together and see where we can get with that. I know for me, As a young man, I was at a Mennonite church growing up, and in Williams Lake. But then this renewal swept through, is what they called it. And so all of a sudden there was this baptism in the Holy Spirit taking place. But interesting how sometimes something that starts out authentic, probably beautiful and amazing, eventually people get involved and mess it up. Eventually people get involved and I just want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit is not weird, but people are weird. Amen? I think you get that. You can amen that. If some of you are thinking through the people that you've seen. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I know who you are. And the Holy Spirit's not weird, though. The Holy Spirit doesn't come up and be like, well, I'm crazy. Like, what's he always like? That's not the Holy Spirit doing that. It's people sort of try to manipulate and work some things out. And now all of a sudden the Holy Spirit gets all wacky and crazy, and baptism is all about being wacky and crazy. And if you're not, then I guess you don't have the power of God. That's not an authentic longing for the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. And when I was at this church growing up, They would put in the bulletin, just so you know, this is going to be a week that's going to go crazy. And my mom wouldn't even take us to church that week. I didn't even know what was going to happen. I'm like, what's it all about? What goes on those days? Like, what does it look like? And so eventually I got old enough, I started going to church any day. And I remember this one moment where the pastor was talking about tongues. Oh, speaking in tongues, baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And so they called everyone forward. If you want to speak in tongues, come forward. And I'm like, oh, man, well, I don't even know what that is. Sure. And so I go forward, a young man. I'm like, what's going to happen here? And then this guy goes around. He's got an angry face on. For some reason, we think when we're going to pray Holy Spirit prayers, we better have our angry face on. You know, we better look real serious and mad, because the Holy Spirit's not going to listen unless we're serious and mad. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, what? I don't know what's. And this guy starts like grabbing people's jaws, and he's right in their face, and sort of like trying to loose something on them, and he keeps like yelling loud like that, and I'm like, what is going on? And I'm sitting there in this place, like getting freaked out. I'm like, what? When he touches me, I don't know what I'm going to do. And the reality is, sometimes the Holy Spirit is never weird, but people are. And people can try to make things weird. People can try to make things awkward. And guess what? It is awkward. And we sometimes go, well, that's too bad. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. No, it's not. It's the work of you. And you're trying to make the Holy Spirit work for you. And you're trying to get as crazy as you can. Like, get myself out of this body. And then maybe once I get out of this body, the Holy Spirit will start moving. That has no connection to how the Holy Spirit moved in the early church in the New Testament. It looked nothing like it. And so when I see that, I'm like, oh, man. I want you to know something. This is a Pentecostal church. This is a four-square church. Rose out of a charismatic movement. That believes our four-square gospel believes that Jesus Christ is a healer and the giver of the Holy Spirit. We believe in tongues. We do believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to know that my early days in understanding the baptism of the Holy Spirit were very scarring for me. Some of you who are sitting here are the same. Some of you who are here have had the same scarring go on in your life. You've seen some really wild things. Or maybe you've just been told some wild things. Maybe you grew up in a denomination that told you actually tongues are evil or of the devil. And I think you really have to read the Bible then. Because the Bible doesn't say that. However, some of the way people have handled baptism of the Holy Spirit, some of the way people have manipulated other people, some of the ways that people have tried to coerce and force and create something, some of that is trying to become God. Trying to become God is evil. We're not meant to be God. We're meant to let God be God. And so I want to encourage you that today, my heart as your pastor is that we would actually start to, today's Pentecost Sunday, by the way. Today's the day that sort of marks and celebrates the moment where on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and moved in incredible ways in the disciples' lives. And so today is that day, and I, as a pastor, I've sometimes in the past felt real pressure, like, what do I do? Do we just pray that the Holy Spirit would come, and what's that going to look like, and how do we handle it, and what do we do? And I felt like God freed me today in such an amazing way. To tell you that I have struggled with this in my own life. If you've struggled with the idea of baptism in the Holy Spirit, you're not alone. People have messed it up sometimes. It's gotten ugly at times, but I want you to know that it's something that I believe God wants for me and for you and for us as a church, that we're meant to experience the beauty of baptism in the Holy Spirit, even though it's been really ugly sometimes. Even though we've made it weird sometimes. And so I want you, today is not the end of a journey. Today in some ways is the beginning of a journey of just us understanding some things. And not even just understanding, but us longing for the gift that Jesus said he wanted to give. Jesus said he wanted to give a gift. He said he wanted to pour out on us. He said he wanted the Holy Spirit to come meet us. He said it's better for us if that were to take place in our lives. And so I just hope that by the end of this day, you might say, I think that's something I want. I think I want that. And I don't have to be stuck in my old framework of what that looks like or of that weird person's reality. I remember sitting in a common college class. I was teaching on the Old Testament here in this church, and I was teaching on the Old Testament, and we had been in for a few weeks, and we were just chatting before the class, and someone said, "Hey, we're not one of those tongue-talking churches, are we?" And I said, "Well, tell me why." And he connected all of this real negative stuff to tongue-talking churches. I said, "No, we're definitely not one of those churches that you just described. But do I believe in tongues? Well, how can you read the Bible and not? Do I believe that the Holy Spirit could move and shift the way that we act and even speak? How can you read the Bible and not? Do I want everything that the Holy Spirit has for us in this church? Of course I do. Do I believe that he's going to call us into places that are going to require his power, his strength, his direction, and his might? Of course I believe for that. And so, are we a tongue-talking church? Well, we're never going to worship tongues. But do we believe that as we worship the Lord and seek the Holy Spirit, that we may see and in fact hope to see God show up in ways that would mark the moment? Yeah, we want that. We believe for that. We pray for that. So sometimes tongues has instead caused a division within the church. Even when it's good. Did you get tongues? No. Did you get tongues? No. Me? No. I got tongues. Okay. So what seat do I get to sit in now? You know, like, I get to sit in this one? Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm a tongue talker. Want to see, you know? And it's just like, it just gets weird, and it gets forceful, and it gets like, and it starts to, people get divided, and like, oh, the Holy Spirit didn't move in your life? Okay, where's your sin? You know, okay, what do you got going on? What's all happening in your life? You didn't speak tongues? No, but I had this amazing moment. I feel full of joy. I was crying, God revealing my sin. I repented. Oh, it was amazing to see that. Oh, yeah, but no tongues? Like, what is that? It's just, it's this weird ugliness, and that's not what happened in Scripture. Just to give you a biblical context, in case you don't have any idea what we're talking about. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples, by the way, they knew Jesus. They wanted what Jesus had. They trusted Jesus. They believed in who he was. They had repented of their sin. They had walked in for 3 years following everything that Jesus did, and now wanted to live their entire lives for Jesus. There, in that place, they waited for the move of something that they didn't even know what it was going to be. And in that moment, all of a sudden, little tongues of fire showed up on their head. There was this wind noise that all of a sudden started showing up. These signs of God showed up. They started speaking in different tongues, and it wasn't like people were like, oh no, what are they doing? In fact, all of these people from other areas were there and hearing the gospel shared in their own language. It was this unifying, beautiful thing. The church took what was meant to be unifying and made it divisive. And we often have landed that way. Then later on, there's this big break between Jews and Gentiles, and Jews thought that the gospel was all for, or that the religion was all them, God was all for them. Jesus came and said, no, it's not all for you. And then they're like, well, we can't associate with Gentiles. But Peter feels called to this Gentile's house one time, this Gentile who is God-fearing, who loves serving people, who is generous with the poor, all of these things, and Peter shows up and says, did you know that there's more? As he's speaking, the Holy Spirit falls, and they speak in tongues. All of a sudden, they're speaking in tongues, and it wasn't like, oh my, what's going on here? It was this unifying moment where Peter goes, what? God is moving in those people the same way he's moving in us. The Holy Spirit loves you as much as he loves us. And it was this unifying, beautiful thing. Sometimes we've broken that. The early church so believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit that they wanted it for everyone. They started defining people like they started saying, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. They recognized that it wasn't about their own strength, but it was about God's. Pastor Allen shared this in staff meeting this week, this verse talking about Apollos. And Apollos was this amazing preacher. But in Acts 18, 24 to 25, it says, meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with thorough knowledge of the scripture. He had been instructed in the ways of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. That's interesting. We're talking about this guy. They're like, yeah, he's smart. He's great. He understands a lot of things, but he hasn't allowed the baptism of the Holy Spirit to take place in his life. You know, as a church, I start looking at that and basically saying, he's so good at so many things and people's lives are being touched, but there is more. And I want to be that way in our church. Yeah, we're good at we can put together an event. We can do a Sunday really well. Our preacher can preach a good message. We can have some good worship. We, you know, we can do some great production and some video stuff and sell a good coffee and we can do all that stuff. We can try to structure small groups and run with all those things. Those are great, but there's more. As Paul is described this way in 1 Corinthians 2, 1-5. It says, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and in great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. That struck us in staff meeting on Wednesday. Just the idea that Paul actually came, and what he came to show people is simply the demonstration of the Spirit's power. Yeah, but what do you have to say, Paul? Oh, it's not eloquent. It's not going to be amazing. I haven't pieced it all together as well as I wish I could, but there's power. When I heard that this week, I thought, God, I want that. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't it be amazing if every time we met, you could just have this sense that, yeah, there is power. There's power here. There's something real here. Something's actually moving here. He says, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. I want that. If you were honest, you'd say you want that too. Some of us we won't say that because we're connected to some ugly past as far as charismatic goes. In fact, this morning maybe even that was connected to flags. You know, I just want you to know, this is a sweet friend of mine who does flags in the church. Her name's Deborah, and she's an amazing friend. She's got a humble heart. She's passionate about Jesus, and she sometimes waves flags over here. She's submitted to me. She loves this church, and she came and did flags in the front, and we talked about that because I know that's distracting for some people. I know that instantly that we get our backs up and go, no, what is going on there? That shouldn't be happening. I don't want to be in a flagging church. You know, I don't want to be in a tongue-speaking church. I don't want to be in a flagging church. We get in that spot because maybe we have a connection to that in the past. And so just so you know, I chatted with Deborah, and she said, I just felt like there was this moment where God wanted to break some chains, but I get it, and I'm going to worship over here, and that's great. And I want you to know that I love what that heart brings. I love the artistic, the creative, how that moment looks, but we're also always walking this tension that I know what it can do to some hearts because we have experienced sometimes the Holy Spirit to be weird, but again, the Holy Spirit is not weird, people are. And so I want you to experience the Holy Spirit. I want to experience more of the Holy Spirit. I want to experience more of what God has for us. Worship team, you can come on up. Today, as it's Pentecost Sunday, I thought, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to pray that people will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But you know what? As I spent time with that honestly didn't make me feel good. I just felt like that. I don't even know if anyone wants that. And if we come to a service and go, hey, do you want the Holy Spirit? Some people might go, yeah, I want that. It seems pretty good. But they may have no real connection to Jesus, may have no real devotion life, may have no discipleship in them. Maybe they're working through all sorts of stuff and are unwilling to submit all sorts of parts of their life. Maybe they've got to forgive people, maybe, and who knows what. And all of a sudden, sometimes we can create this space. Some of the most charismatic churches and charismatic movements are full of the most broken people because they say, well, I don't need to read the Bible. I don't need to devote my life. I don't need to journal. I don't need to pray. I don't need to forgive. I don't need to do any of that. I don't need to be careful with my words because I'll just be led by the Holy Spirit. All of that stuff goes on. And then they say, but hey, let's get filled with the Holy Spirit and go and just go crazy. And that's not the goal. In fact, God gave me this image that's the Happy Meal Holy Spirit. Give me my Holy Spirit. Thank you. I got the power. I got the power. You know, and then you walk out like, hey, you know, hey, you gonna read your Bible? No, I got the power. You know, and then like, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't need that. Are you going to speak to that person that rudely? If the Holy Spirit tells me to, yeah. Because I get to, but I got the power. I just felt like God, when you see the Holy Spirit fall, if you go through Scripture, you should go through Scripture, every time the Holy Spirit falls, first of all, it was very rarely in a moment like this where we're all gathered together, believers and unbelievers, because I hope there are unbelievers in this room, and I hope this is making sense to you, or at least piquing some interest in you as well. But it very rarely the Holy Spirit would fall in a moment like this. More commonly, it was when people who were already driven by Jesus, who had already decided to follow Jesus, who are already taking control of their own life and allowing the Spirit within them, the work of repentance and breaking before God to shift who they were. It was when they said, now God, I want to be empowered for greater. I want to go where you call me to go. I want to be overcome by you. I want to be taken over by you. I want to experience everything that you have for me. And they would pray and wait and seek and wait and fight for it and believe for it and repent of their brokenness and apologize for mess ups in relationship and walk in unity. It was in those moments that the Holy Spirit would come and meet them and baptize them, and they would be filled in incredible ways. I want that for our church. I don't want a Happy Meal Holy Spirit where everyone walks out of here empowered, even though we've done nothing to pursue Jesus with our lives. I want to be in a place where we're hungry for what God is hungry for. Smith Wigglesworth was this wildly charismatic man. Didn't start that way, but started just pursuing these things of Jesus, wanted to know Jesus, wanted to walk in holiness and purity and all of this stuff, and eventually felt like he had gotten to somewhere and then wanted to see this baptism of the Holy Spirit and wanted to speak in tongues. And so he felt like he got to the place where he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, but then he wanted to go get tongues. And so he went to this one place. It was this Anglican church that the whole place had been filled with the Holy Spirit and tongues were being spoken. And he said, I want that. And he went to the minister's wife. He shows up to her and said, I want tongues. And she said, no, you don't need to want tongues. You need to want the Holy Spirit. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said, no, I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. I want tongues. If that's the next thing, I want it. He traveled around the states to find this filling, this more. She prayed for him. He was spoke in tongues. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues. This other story, just quickly, William Joseph Seymour. A big reason why Azusa Street took place, if you know about Azusa Street revivals. He was in the civil rights movement where racial tensions were high and just a ton of brokenness. He became this preacher who was rejected by many. His story is just wild. But he just started to lead this movement that sought Jesus, that sought holiness, that sought purity, that fought for him. And for years, he preached that way. And they started longing together for what God might do, for what the Holy Spirit might do, for what that next thing could be. And there's this moment, I love the moment, where they have this big prayer time saying, baptize us in the Holy Spirit. And they're praying and praying and praying and not seeing that. And everyone leaves. It says finally, you know, he's the last person kind of praying. There's still a few lingering people, but he's still seeking God, praying that I want to experience you, Holy Spirit. And here's how it's described, that moment for him. It says, a sphere of white hot brilliance seemed to appear, draw near, and fall upon him. Divine love melted his heart. He sank to the floor, seemingly unconscious. Words of deep healing and encouragement spoke to him. As from a great distance, he heard unutterable words being uttered. Was it angelic adoration and praise? Slowly he realized the indescribably lovely language belonged to him, pouring from his innermost being. A broad smile wreathed his face. At last he arose and happily embraced those around him. Maybe that's a different image than you've seen sometimes when it comes to tongues. As your pastor, it's been 4.5 years I haven't spoken on this once. The reason is I know the scarring that some of us have experienced with these movements that seem completely disconnected from the love of Jesus and completely focused on this sort of charismatic emotionalism. But I want you to know that if this is a starting point, I'm believing that we as a church are going to start processing this, moving towards the expectation of the Holy Spirit baptizing us, each of us, some in small groups, some on retreats and camps, some might be Sunday mornings. Some might be in your own prayer times, in your own life. But what I want for the next 5 minutes, these guys are just going to play like this, is I just want you to take 5 minutes and just allow God to search your heart. And if there are spaces within your heart that are closed off to the biblical understanding of tongues because of something you've seen somewhere else that was a perversion of what it was meant to be, would you allow God to remove that from you? If it's been someone who's told you since you were a kid, that's evil. Whatever it might be, would you allow God to remove that from you in these next few minutes? On Pentecost Sunday, I want to get in a place where a little bit more like the disciples who knew Jesus, who saw him, who wanted to shape their whole lives like him, who wanted to be just like Jesus. And in that space of pure desire, they were baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I just want you to take a few minutes. This isn't time for you to shout out or speak anything out. This is time for you to allow God to search your heart. Do you want what he wants for you? Are you okay if it's the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Are you okay if it may lead to you speaking in different tongues? Are you okay with the gifts of the Holy Spirit rising up? And as your pastor, I'm going to do my best by his Spirit to pastor moments like this and to care for people like this. But I want you to know the Holy Spirit wants to move in us. And for the next just couple minutes, just take a second and allow God to remove anything within you that would cause you to say, no, I'm not okay with this. Just allow him to do that. It's by his power. It's not any manipulation here. Just let him do that for you, just for a couple minutes. Jesus, thank you that you reminded us that the gift of the Holy Spirit is a good gift. Help us to not disconnect the Holy Spirit from the loving Father, the compassionate Jesus. That this is one in the triune God. Let's pray. God, would you allow us to heal today? Heal to the point of expectancy. Heal to the point that the very thing we thought we despised might be something we would start to desire. The very thing that we felt like we were afraid of would be something that we actually start to hunger for, yearn for. God, I pray against pride. It will not allow us to change our thought process on something. Not allow us to receive what you gave. God, thank you that you allowed us through Scripture to know you as a thought out God of order, strategy, plan, and yet this one who brings us immense, incredible freedom and strength to carry out the work that you've called us to. Jesus, thank you that Foursquare is based on the idea that Jesus is central to all of these things. That as we look to Jesus, he will show us. He will give us the Holy Spirit, allow us to know that empowerment. God, I pray that we wouldn't seek power outside of submission. We wouldn't seek a voice outside of silence. That we wouldn't seek recognition outside of a life glorifying to the only one worth recognizing. Jesus, lead us as a church. Lead us today. Lead us as people in small groups and conversations around the lunch table and in our own prayer time tonight. God, would you just create a yearning in us and a hunger to even ask you, not just on Sundays, but in all times, baptize me in the Holy Spirit, that I would know you. I would know you not just as an idea, but surging through me. It's the life-giving God that you are. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you're the good shepherd, and you give us understanding, even of ununderstandable things. God, thank you that you're a God of peace. Come alongside us as each of us on our own journeys towards the more of you for them. We love you, Lord. We love who you are. We're thankful that you did something new. And we ask, God, that we would allow the walls to fall down, that we might experience it afresh. Experience the new renewed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you all. Thanks for being with us today. Thanks for being part of that with us. Let's believe that God's got something amazing for us in our future. It's a good gift. It's a gift that we can trust Him for. If it's something that you want, you wait. You spend time. You long for it and start to believe that God's got something. Go read your Bible. Read Acts and check it out too. It's awesome. We can all stand up together. These guys are going to sing us out of here. We love you. Have a great day.